The Sound and Style of American English, a course in foreign accent reduction by David Allen Stern. Copyright 1987 by Dialect Accent Specialists Incorporated, Los Angeles, California. Hello. This is a course in accent reduction for people who already speak English as a second language and now want to reduce their accents and become more understandable and more expressive with the style of American English. If you haven't done it yet, please read the first section of the manual that comes with this tape before listening to Lesson 1. It gives you more information about accent reduction, which I don't have time to talk about right here on the tape. The manual also gives you a step-by-step, two-week program on how to work with this tape and how to begin using the new skills in your everyday life. One other thing before we start. It might be a good idea for you to rewind the tape to the beginning, and if your tape player has a counter, set it on 000. That way you can check the counter and write down the numbers that correspond with the beginnings of each lesson, so you can find them easily later on. Okay, let's begin. Now, it may surprise some of you that I won't be starting this process by correcting your pronunciation. Oh, don't worry, we will get to that later. But there are several other speech skills that I believe you have to learn first. Without these other skills, pronunciation changes won't really have much effect. So, you'll start by learning to do American-style intonation or pitch change during speech. And then, you'll learn how to move your mouth muscles and focus the sound differently than you do in your original language. Lesson 1. The music of American speech. Many people with accents become more understandable, more expressive, and sound much less foreign just by using the kind of pitch changes which American ears are used to hearing. Well-spoken American speech does not stay on one note inside phrases and sentences. Many languages do that. Many people with accents speak monotone English even if their original language has pitch change. Well, American speech has what I call a jump up and step down pattern of pitch change. That means that inside each phrase or unit of thought, the pitch jumps up to a higher note on an early important word. But the pitch doesn't stay up there, and it doesn't drop down all the way all at once either. Instead, it starts to step down slowly but surely on each and every syllable after the pitch jump. Now, I'm sure you can hear that I've just started to exaggerate that pitch pattern so that you can hear it really clearly. Right now, I'm going to demonstrate the basic pattern on some very simple phrases, and I'd like to have you repeat each phrase after me. But please, do this big. Make the upward pitch jumps very big. And make sure that you can really hear the downward movements as you step down in between syllables. Let's start just by saying good morning. Now we can do this two different ways. Good morning, jumping on the word good. You try that. Or, good morning, jumping on the word morning. You try that. Try them again. Good morning. Good morning. Now be careful that you don't just get louder and that you are actually changing pitch, that it's really going up to a different musical note. Don't just do good morning, but good morning. Let's try it now on this sentence. I'm very happy to see you today. You try that. Now, if you feel foolish when you're doing this pitch change, don't worry. In fact, that's really good. This is very different from the way you usually speak, so if it feels right, you're probably not going far enough with it. Try it on one more sentence. We'll jump on the first word of this sentence. Call him on the office telephone. Repeat. Make sure that you hear that very clear downward step on each and every syllable after the jump. Call him on the office telephone. Now that you've tried this speech music a few times, there are two things I want to clarify for you. First, make sure you jump up. Do not slide up in pitch. Many, many languages and dialects use some version of sliding up or sliding up and down in pitch to make words or ideas important. To American ears, these kinds of slides almost always sound foreign, even if your pronunciation is perfect. So don't slide up to emphasize words. Jump up to emphasize words. Don't do, "Good morning, I'm very happy to meet you." Instead, "Good morning, I'm very happy to meet you." Now here's the second clarification. The last word, or the last idea in the phrase, usually takes an even bigger step down in pitch than the ones before it. "I'm very happy to see you." Or, "I'm very happy to see you today." So, because of all of this, American sentences usually sound like they are stepping down and then dropping at the end. Let's practice this pattern in its simplest form on sentence group 1, which you'll find printed in the manual. Also, write down the number that's on your tape machine's counter right now so later you can rewind to this spot. I'll read each sentence demonstrating the basic jump up and step down pattern. Then I'll leave some silent space on the tape for you to imitate each one. Use your stop or your pause button if you need a little bit more time to respond. Remember, I'm going to exaggerate, and I want you to feel like you are exaggerating the pattern. Sentence 1. "I'm very pleased to meet you." Repeat. 2. "Thank you very much for calling." 3. "I'd like to make an appointment for next Thursday." 4. "I'm going out of town at the end of next week." 5. "I won't be back in the office till the following Monday." Just a reminder, don't slide up. Make those jumps big and really hear those downward steps. 6. "There's too much noise on the street where we live." 7. "I don't want you to go there anymore." 8. "My car broke down on the freeway this afternoon." 9. "My office is on the 3rd floor, right across from the elevator." And 10. "I'll never be home on time if I keep getting telephone calls." Now, if this is the first time you've gone through this exercise, I want you to rewind the tape to the beginning of sentence group 1. On your second time through, be a little more aware of using the melody pattern. Pretend that you're really speaking these words and thoughts to somebody in everyday life. Try to feel that the pitch changes are helping you get your message across to the listeners. If you feel foolish, that's okay. Just pretend that you feel like you're really talking while making these pitch changes. So if it's your first time through, rewind the tape now. If this was your second time through, stop the tape and read the sentences several times from the manual without listening to me first. Get more and more aggressive with the pitch change each time. As you're doing that, keep pretending that you are really using these new tools of communication. Okay? Stop the tape and practice. Welcome back. You've done some practicing with the basic pattern, and now it's time to go a little further. There are a few other things that I want to clarify about this speech music pattern. First, in many phrases, you have a choice of more than one word where you can begin the pattern by jumping up in pitch. For example, even on the simple good morning that we used earlier, you could start with good morning, or you could start with morning. Good morning. You could say, it's really good to see you today, or you might say, it's really good to see you today. The information and the general content is the same, but there are subtle differences in meaning between the two versions. Of course, it is also possible for you to jump up and begin the pattern in both places. It's really good to see you today. Yes, you can jump up and step down more than once in a sentence, depending on how important you want the different ideas to be. So let's look for a minute at the last sentence in Group 1. Earlier on the tape, I read it this way. I'll never be home on time if I keep getting telephone calls. I jumped up only once on never, and then I stepped down for the rest of the sentence. You try that again. Repeat after me. I'll never be home on time if I keep getting telephone calls. Now, I'll use the pattern twice. I'll jump on never and on keep. I'll never be home on time if I keep getting telephone calls. You try it. Notice that after each of the jumps, the pitch began stepping down again until the next pattern started with another jump. Of course, it's even possible to find more than two ideas for jumping up in pitch. Here's the same sentence with four jumps on the words never, home, keep, and telephone. You repeat it after me. I'll never get home on time if I keep getting telephone calls. By the way, here's one trick you can use to avoid a singy-songy pattern. Don't always jump to the same starting note. Don't do, I'll never get home on time if I keep getting telephone calls. Instead of that, make each new thought jump to a slightly different note. I'll never get home on time if I keep getting telephone calls. Again, please remember, I'm exaggerating a little bit, but you must feel like you are exaggerating too in order to be going far enough. Now, once again, write down the counter number that your tape player is on right now, because you'll be rewinding to this spot in a few minutes. Let's try using this pattern more than once in the first five sentences from Group 1. Number one, I'm very pleased to meet you. Two, thank you very much for calling. Three, I'd like to make an appointment for next Thursday. Four, I'm going out of town at the end of next week. Five. I won't be back in the office till the following Monday. Now, if that was the first time that you tried these sentences with the two pitch jumps, rewind a little way and try again. This time, make sure that you jump to two different starting pitches inside each sentence. Also, make sure that you are doing really noticeable downward steps. Okay? Rewind and give it a try. Welcome back. And many of you are probably asking, how will I know which word or which words to jump up in pitch if somebody doesn't tell me on a training tape? Well, of course, it depends. It depends on which words or ideas you want to emphasize. I will give you one quick unofficial rule. In general, in a normal statement, Americans almost never jump on the word I, or I'm, or I'll do something. That is, unless they really want to call attention to the fact that I did it. Not you or someone else, but I did it. Most other times, even if the word I is pretty important, American speech does not begin pitch jumps with it. The same thing is frequently true of small words, prepositions like to, to, for, F-O-R, by, at. Okay. Now let's try an experiment on how to find out where you should jump up in pitch. In a minute, I want you to open your manual to sentence group 2. Read each sentence as expressively as you can, but without using this new American pitch pattern. Instead of that, do whatever you normally do to get your ideas across when you speak English. Then, try something else. Actually translate some of the sentences into your first language. Then read the translated sentences with a lot of meaning. Go ahead, shut off the tape, and try that experiment both ways. Well, what happened? Didn't most of you already know which words to emphasize when you were using your original language or your current accent? Oh, you probably didn't use this new pitch pattern to express it, but maybe you got louder or stretched out certain words or slid up or went up, down in pitch on certain words. Well, those words are probably the same ones where you should begin the jump up and step down pattern when you're using the American style of intonation. Now shut the tape off again and go back to sentence group 2 in the manual. Read the sentences again using our new pattern in the same places where you emphasized words in your original language or accent. The first time, just concentrate on using the jump up and step down pattern. Okay. Shut the tape off and try. Welcome back. Now that you've tried, please ask yourself these questions about that first attempt that you just made. Did you make the jumps very noticeable? Did you make sure you were actually jumping pitch and not just getting louder? Also, did you use very noticeable downward steps? Did you try to make it feel like those steps were helping you get your ideas across? Finally, did you remember to make the last idea in the pattern end with the largest pitch drop of all? Now do the sentences again. This time go a little further than you went the first time, and try to keep in mind at least some of those questions that I just asked. Okay? Shut off the tape and really play with sentence group 2 for quite a while before turning the tape back on again. Well, welcome back. Of course, as you can tell, all of the sentences in this group go together to form a little speech. On the next page of the manual, you'll find the speech printed all in one paragraph. You'll see that I've underlined some of the words. Now, this doesn't mean that everyone has to jump up and pitch on all of those words. These are just suggested starting points, depending on which of the ideas you want to stress. You can compare them with the places that you chose to jump up on when you did them as separate sentences. Now I'm going to read the whole thing through, all at once. I'm not going to pause for you to repeat sentence by sentence because I'm not suggesting that this is the only correct way to do it. I just want to show you this pattern in action. I'm not necessarily going to start the patterns on all of the same words that are underlined. I'm going to try to make the jumps and steps really obvious, but I also want them to be real tools to help me get these points across to you. Also, as you listen to my reading several times, please notice that I don't always begin a unit by jumping to the same pitch. That way, I try to keep you listening to the different ideas instead of listening to pitch changes for their own sake. So, once again, check the counter number on your tape player so you can rewind to this spot, the beginning of sentence group 2. I'd like to welcome you all to this meeting. I'll begin by introducing myself to you. My name is David Allen Stern, and I've been president of this company for the last 10 years. I've seen a lot of changes in that time. Yes, we certainly made a great deal of progress, but there is still a lot more to do if we're going to continue to grow. Starting next week, we will begin a brand new project. Although our goals are new, we still need the same dedication and the same hard work you have already shown us. I hope that the next 10 years of progress will make the last 10 seem small in comparison. Now you try reading this paragraph several times. Play around and experiment with it in several different versions. Each time, find different ideas to stress and different places to begin the jump up and step down intonation patterns. Most importantly, don't be afraid to go all the way and feel a bit foolish or ridiculous when applying this American intonation style. Okay, shut off the tape and start experimenting with that paragraph. Well, hello again. Now that you've experimented with the paragraph form of sentence group 2, I want you to return to the very beginning of the tape and review everything we've done so far before going on with the lessons on muscle movement. Lesson 2, relaxing the lips and front mouth. American English is formed with very little muscle work happening in the lips and the front of the mouth. In so many other languages of Europe, Asia, Africa, and South America, those front mouth and lip muscles do much more work during speech. In these languages, the first thing the mouth muscles do when you're getting ready to speak is to push forward. Now this hardly ever happens at all in American English, where most of the muscle work is in the back, especially in the back half of your tongue. As a result, the tone or resonance or vibration of American speech focuses in a different part of your mouth. In this lesson, you'll learn to let go of the lips and front mouth muscles. In the next 2 lessons that follow, you'll create a very specific type of speech movement in the back of your tongue. So get a small mirror or stand in front of a mirror so you can watch the movement in your lips. Begin just by saying the sound, ah. Now repeat the sound several times. Ah, ah, ah. This time, I want you to create the ah sounds making sure that you do not push your lips at all, either before or during the sound. Don't even let them go forward a tiny little bit. Make believe that your lips are numb, like you've just gotten a shot from the dentist and you can't really feel them or move them. Try it now a few times. Ah, 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 with no lip movement and no lip feeling. Let me give you another hint. As you begin the ah sound, as you're relaxing your lips completely, try to feel that you're opening your mouth from the back instead of opening it from the front. Don't create the movement in your lips. Instead, let it feel like your jaw is dropping open in the back. Create a fairly big space between your upper and lower teeth in the back as your jaw drops straight down. So, try it again. Ah, 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 just letting the jaw fall down in the back. Now, at the same time, also make sure that you aren't pushing your tongue forward when you create the ah sound. Just let your tongue sit down there at the bottom of your mouth as your jaw drops. Ah, 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 ah. Now we'll go on to the second step. After you've said the ah sound two or three times, go on to say the words one, two, three. As you begin each word, many of you will find that your lips want to push forward. One, two, three. Don't let that happen. Instead, let your jaw drop in the back just like you did on the ah sounds by themselves. Now, it might feel like you can't form the sounds if you don't let your lips come forward. You may find that you're doing one, two, three. Well, you can fix that without pushing your lips. Simply make your tongue, especially the back part of your tongue, do much more moving than it normally does. Ah, ah, one, two, three. Of course, you still have to let your lips open and close. Don't hold them stiffly. One, two, three. Let them open and close, but try not to feel that the muscles in your lips are doing any of the work. Instead, just let it feel like your lips open and close because they're attached to the parts that are moving behind them. Okay, practice this several more times. Repeat after me. Ah, ah, one, two, three. Be careful. Don't even let those lips push forward to form sounds like wuh on one. Don't do run or do. Just let the lips open and close as the tongue does most of the work. Ah, ah, one, two, three. Ah, ah, four, five, six. Be careful, don't produce that F sound by pushing your lip hard against your teeth. Don't do four, five, six. Just touch the lip gently and softly and then let it fall back away from your teeth. Ah, ah, four, five, six. Ah, ah, seven, eight, nine. Once again, feel all of the work and all of the opening coming from the jaw dropping in the back. Don't form the pronunciations with lip movements. Instead, pronounce by moving your jaw and rear tongue. Now count all the way from 1 to 10. Again, try to get the feeling that your jaw is dropping in the back and your tongue is doing the moving. Ah, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. You try it? Now, shut off the tape and do that count several times moving your tongue and jaw, but without pushing your lips. Now that you're back, try to create that same feeling on several other words. Let's try the days of the week using the same technique. Monday. Don't push forward, even on the M. Not Monday, Monday. Tuesday. Don't push forward just because there's an oo sound. Not Tuesday, Tuesday. Wednesday. Thursday. Friday. Again, don't let the F make you push your lip. Saturday. Sunday. Now do them again. And be sure to feel the opening in the back. Feel the tongue doing most of the work and the lips only moving up and down without any forward push. This time through, I'd also like you to apply the pitch pattern that we learned in the first lesson. So step down in pitch between the beginning and the end of each word. Repeat after me. Monday. Tuesday. Wednesday. Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Feel free to look in the mirror to see if you are still pushing your lips forward, or have someone else listen to you and watch you. Now shut off the tape and practice the days of the week several times. Don't be afraid that your speech will turn out sloppy if you don't push your lips really hard. As long as the lips are opening and closing, and as long as there is active tongue movement, the American English sounds will form very clearly. Now use the same muscle technique to speak the months of the year. Repeat them after me. Ah, ah, January. February. Or February, both pronunciations are okay. March, April, May, June, July, August, September, October, November, December. Practice this list several times. Then rewind the tape and repeat all of Lesson 2 before you go on to the next section of the tape. Lesson 3, Changing the Position of Your Tongue. Once again, write down the counter number so you can rewind to this spot. Okay, you've started to relax the front of your mouth and increase the movement in your jaw and rear tongue. It's time to learn the very special type of rear tongue movement that creates the American resonance and also helps form American pronunciations. This exercise is really important for everyone with an accent, but it's even more important if you are a native speaker of an East Asian language, Japanese, the Chinese languages, as well as Korean, Vietnamese, Thai, Cambodian, and most of the other languages in that part of the world. Because those languages move the tongue so much less than American and European languages do. Let's begin with the first step. First, open the manual to Lesson 3 and look closely at the photograph you'll find there. It shows you a person's tongue being held in a very specific position. I'll call this the starting position. Now, once again, look in your mirror. Make sure there's enough light for you to be able to see into the back of your mouth. Now, try to put your own tongue into the shape and position that you see in the photo. As you try to copy that tongue position, I will also describe the position very briefly. You see that the tongue is lying down flat across the bottom of the mouth. The tip is lying just against the top of the lower front teeth. And the shape of the tongue is slightly concave. That means that it's curving down slightly from the edges toward the center. And most importantly of all, the back third of the tongue is lying down flat. In fact, the very back of the tongue is the lowest part. It isn't arching up toward the soft palate. Now, in a minute, I want you to turn off the tape and spend a few minutes trying to put your tongue into this position and hold it there for a while. It might be very difficult to get your tongue to go where you want it to at first. Just struggle with it by trial and error for a few minutes. Then you can turn the tape back on, and I'll give you a few more hints. So turn the tape off now. Well, how did it go? A few of you may have succeeded right away, but for most of you it was probably very difficult. So here are a few helpful hints. First, try to get your tongue to relax down into the starting position. Don't hold your mouth open too wide. Don't strain your jaw open. Keep it open just wide enough for you to be able to see your tongue in the mirror. Then, put the tip of your finger onto the middle of your tongue and press very gently down and back. Now be careful. Don't really put your finger too far back there. I don't want you to choke in the name of losing your accent. Now, after you push the tongue down there, try to get it to relax under your finger and stay down in that position. Then lift your finger off and see if your tongue will stay there. I don't want you to feel like you're tightening up either your tongue or your throat muscles. Just try to feel like the tongue is lying there in a very relaxed way. Then try it again, see if you can do it without using your finger. So again, shut off the tape and try this for a few minutes using the new suggestions that I just made. Feel free to rewind the tape and listen to the instructions in these last two steps as many times as you want. Welcome back. Now, remember, I don't want you to continue the tape until you're really good at putting and keeping your tongue in the starting position. Practice the technique that I just described for about 10 or 12 minutes at a time. Then, go back and practice it again a couple of hours later for another 10 or 12 minutes. Do this every few hours for a day or so. You'll see how fast those old muscles learn new tricks. When you've done that practicing, come back and start the tape again at this point. Welcome back again from all your practicing. Well, now that you can hold your tongue down in the starting position, without tension and without any help from your finger, it's time to learn exactly what this position feels like in the muscles. When you hear me say the word now, I want you to open your mouth and try to have your tongue go into the start position as your mouth is opening. After it's open, then check in the mirror to see if you succeeded. Okay? Now, open your mouth. Is your tongue down in the desired position? Check it out in the mirror. Okay, go through that sequence several times, but each time, concentrate on what you are feeling in the tongue muscles. When you look in the mirror, try to remember how it felt at those times when your tongue went where you wanted it to go. Practice this exercise for 5 or 10 minutes every few hours until you can put your tongue into the starting position by feeling alone. Be sure you know exactly what it feels like when your tongue is in that starting position, flat and low in the back of your mouth. Now we're going to try to make sound with the tongue in, you guessed it, the starting position. So begin with your tongue in this starting position and once again say, ah, ah, ah. Look in the mirror as you're doing it and see if there's any movement in your tongue or your lips when you make that sound. Go ahead. Ah, ah, ah. Did your tongue move? In many cases, it probably did. It's very possible that the back of your tongue moved up toward the soft palate when you started the ah. Now, I want you to reverse that. I want you to practice making the ah sound with the back of your tongue beginning in the starting position and then moving down slightly. Not up, but down, just before you make the sound. So the sequence is down ah, down ah, down ah. Don't start the ah until your tongue has already moved down slightly. Now, after you stop each ah, you can let it move back up to the starting position again. Don't glide your tongue during the ah. Let it go down first. Down ah, down ah, then up to the start. Don't move your tongue while you're saying the ah. At first, try to do this by creating the feeling of a slight downward pull in the middle and back of your tongue right before you start the ah. Try it several times while looking in the mirror. Try it right now. Down ah, down ah, down ah. Okay, I know that some of you are getting a little frustrated, especially if your tongue is still moving up when you're trying to get it to move down. Well, if that's happening, it's time for you to use your fingertip again. After your tongue is in the starting position, put your finger in the middle of your tongue and push very softly down and back just before you begin the ah. Try that several times. Push ah, push ah, push ah. Now, don't push too hard. Just glide your tongue down with your finger. Don't tense it up. The next time you try, don't push. Just try to pull your tongue down away from your fingertip without pushing any pressure. Then, see if you can produce the same downward movement without using your finger at all, just creating the feeling of the downward movement. Once again, practice what I've just been telling you to do in short 10-minute sessions every few hours until you start getting the hang of it. Here are two important warnings. First, don't tense up the walls of your throat at all. Don't feel that you're pulling down into your throat. Remember that this is a relaxed tongue movement inside the mouth, not a tensing of the throat at all. If your throat keeps getting tense on this exercise, maybe you're pulling down on a spot which is too far back on your tongue. Try concentrating on a spot which is a little closer to the middle. Now here's the second warning. Let me remind you once again not to push your lips forward in any way during this tongue movement. Keep your lips just as relaxed as you did in lesson two. If you keep seeing them move forward, again, put a tiny little backward pull into the corners of your mouth at the same time that you move your tongue down. So, stop the tape again and practice. Okay, I hope you've practiced a lot, and now you can begin with your tongue in the starting position and move it down on each ah, 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 without tension and without lip movement. Now I'd like you to rewind to the beginning of lesson two and review both lesson two and lesson three before turning the tape over. This is the end of side 1.